אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי בעל הסולם.
We are reading in Kabbalah for the Student. In the introduction to this Zohar, page 110. נבחרות, אנחנו נשאל כאן במהלך השיעור.
ספר כתבי בעל הסולם, עמוד 431, בהקדמה לספר הזוהר, בתחילת העמוד.
טוב, אז אני אקרא בסך.
Okay, so I'll read. כן?
ומה שאמרו זה אז.
Inquiry number 6, regarding what our sages said, that man is the center of reality. Well, what does that mean, that he is the center of reality? That the upper worlds and this corporeal world and everything in them were created only for him. That is why man is called the center of reality. And obliged man, it's not simply that a person thinks so, but they obliged man to believe that the world had been created for him. Because otherwise, why do I need this world that was created for me? I don't want this burden altogether. It gives me nothing. So it says that it is an obligation that the world was created for you, that and accordingly you must exist. That it is seemingly hard to grasp that for this trifling human, whose value is no more than a wisp, with respect to the reality of this world, much less with respect to all the upper worlds, whose height and sublimity is immeasurable, that the Creator had troubled himself to create all these for him? How could it be that for this one little ant, the whole of creation was created with the whole universe, with all its worlds, don't feel, don't understand, there's no connection or rationale about it? And also, why would man need all that? Meaning we don't feel ourselves that we're capable of perceiving this altogether, that we can use it, that we can somehow use it. No. So it's a very hard kind of question. Now, too, none of us feels it. I see people, they live, they die. What do they have? That the center of, that each one of them is the center of reality, that all the worlds are for him. What are you talking about? Look how they treat me, worse than a dog. And it's all worthless. What is a man worth altogether? He has no price tag. So it's very hard for us here because of the sages. That all of this was created, this whole universe, what distances, what forces. You see one small point at night, you see a tiny point. This tiny point could be thousands of galaxies together. You know, it's such a scale that. So, if so, the question. All that is for man, for a person. What do I need these billions of stars for? Billions of light years. I have nothing from that. But the sages who discovered it, they say that, dear lad, this is all for you. You have to arrange your life so that all this is yours and for you. It's not a present. It's like this great big burden that. Okay, inquiry. And by that, finally, he ends his questions and inquiries, and we turn to the point. Now, maybe there will be clarifications. Item 4, page 111. To understand these questions and inquiries, the only tactic is to examine the end of the act. What is that? That is the purpose of creation, for nothing can be understood in the middle of the process, but only at its end. This is the rule, that only from the very end can you understand all the details, the entire process, all the phases, the reasons for each and everything, because only at the end is it cleared up how each one is necessary, how all of these details must come out this way. And how to say one after the other in this order. Everything, only you see that at the very end, everything reaches perfection, and there will be no perfect end unless it comes out according to this specific order. So first of all, we need an end, but how can we have an end if we have not attained it in the middle yet? How is it possible to attain the beginning from the end? And also, well, in short, it's a problem. For nothing can be understood in the middle of the process, but only at its end, and it is clear that there is no act without a purpose. And we see it from nature. I don't know if it's clear, right? I see everything as one great big whole mess. But if I delve into research, I see that everything falls into place according to cause and consequence, according to an order and lawfulness, at least still vegetative and animate. I discover a wondrous wisdom in them, logic and rationale, and everything is arranged such that it is impossible to decide about anything, to say that it's redundant or not connected with the rest of the infinite amount of details. Therefore, I can say just one thing. What I see on the speaking level, which is one great big mess, is as a result of not seeing in it. I don't see in it the wondrous order. And in it, I see the very opposite. Either I can say that what we see in human society, we really see one great big whole mess, and it is because we do it. Now, either we can say that the Creator is good, that does good and does everything, but He let it be, He left it, like you can see with the different inquiries about the attitude, about the different approaches in the article, the piece. But somehow, if I respond to what I see in life, I nonetheless see from all of these different kind of attitudes and approaches, I deeper and deeper understand that you have to look at it from the end. And as a result of seeing that nature altogether progresses according to the goal, then like he says, that first of all we have to look at the purpose of creation, because it is impossible to understand anything in the midst of the act, but only at its end. And it is clear to you that there is no act without a purpose, for only the insane can act purposelessly. I know that there are those who cast over their backs and backs the burden of Torah and mitzvot. Those that believe that not everything was created for man, that he is the center of creation, and only if we follow this way that we can develop, and everything was created for me, and the world, and all the worlds, and I have to reach a state where I accept it, where I discover it, where I control it, if it's for me, like we understand from the word, it's all in order for, it's for my utilization. So again, I know that there are those who cast over their backs the burden of Torah and mitzvot, meaning that they do not agree that what comes from within me and from my environment, from the world, from the worlds, it all comes in order for me to use it, to correct it, the entire utilization. action is called performing the mitzvot, plural for mitzvah, by the reforming light, and then I achieve the purpose of creation. But what did they say? Those who cast over their backs the burden. They say that the Creator has created the whole of reality, then left it alone, that because of the worthlessness of the creatures, it is non-fitting for the exalted Creator to watch over their mean little ways. Indeed, without knowledge they have spoken, for it is impossible to comment on our lowliness and nothingness before we decide that we have created ourselves with all our corrupted and loathsome natures. Meaning that it is obvious that we are imperfect, but I wouldn't, delve too deep into it. It's impossible to decide about the world being ignoble or lowly if we don't see the whole, the end of things, the perfection and wholeness, how all this later on reveals the perfectness. We can say, yeah, but if the Creator, He is whole and perfect, why didn't He create the development as whole and perfect? But it's impossible if we say that there has to be a reality of a creature here, which is opposite to the Creator. He has to exist of two parts that are opposite to one another. The quality of the Creator and the quality of the creature, and to cope with one another, and He, in between them, builds Himself out of the two forces of reception and bestowal. Meaning, unless we understand the purpose, then undoubtedly we cannot justify creation. And then we say, no, okay, if the Creator is perfect, then surely He left us and He exists somewhere out there in His perfection, or He doesn't exist altogether, or He does exist, but there are several of those, not just one, but the good force and the evil force, or many good forces, many evil forces, and so on. We already studied that, but undoubtedly that it is impossible to justify. And we see it on ourselves until a person accepts the Torah, meaning until he reaches a state where it is clear to him that he is in a corrupted system and it is this way in order for him to find his place in it, to correct it through the light, to operate himself every time, ever more, in operating the system. And then he'll see that it is all for him. It is impossible to reach the degree, the level of the Creator, without correcting the system, without, let's say, correcting, putting it together. It's like kids that they play, but they build themselves actually by constantly playing with toys, meaning by putting them together, collecting and putting them together. Mainly it's by putting things together. Also our work is entirely in putting together the unity, the connection, the arvut. These are all the things that we must carry out in order to achieve the goal. Okay? Yes.
He writes here that there are those who have a burden in the Torah and the mitzvot and saying the Creator has created the whole reality and left them it alone. It's not clear to us, how could it be that someone looks at nature, sees perfection, and not only perfection, but that everything is adapted for him on one hand. And on the other hand, to kind of think that like the Creator left a person. How does it work out?
Works out very well. If a blow comes to me, then first of all, I disconnect, detach from the Creator. I feel the blow, I do then I don't feel the Creator. It is impossible that I feel the two together.
But in the general state, I see like the sun, the temperature, I see that all the things are suitable to man's life. If I see that something rises or lowers, then it could influence me.
It says nothing about the higher force. It says that nature is deterministic, mechanical. That's how He created everything. We're a result of nature. So there were some conditions in which life was created, such and such conditions, and you die out. There were dinosaurs, yes. They died out, yes. Some people, you know, they'll disappear as well. This is how these forms work. It's not proof. If you talk about faith, then altogether there's nothing to, because there you don't have proof or anything at all. A person who believed then, today doesn't. We see around the whole world there is a decline in belief. I talked to many people who were in the Holocaust. They stopped believing. They said, previously we believed that there was a higher force that somehow relates to us, even though that life is hard and so on. But He gave us problems in life in order to later on somehow, who knows, reward and punishment, what I know. But to such an extent, no, it's impossible. It's beyond our rationale. Can't justify it. Stop believing. There's no point in talking to them. You can't argue with that. Because according to what they say, they're right. Yes.
I want to ask the opposite. He raises these questions and these investigations in the beginning, which should be to kind of clear the area, like you said, to scrutinize these questions. How could it be that he's not asking if there is a creator, whether the creator is good and benevolent? He comes out of the assumption that the creator is good and he's benevolent and he exists. It's like axioms.
No, I don't understand what you mean by an axiom. I don't know what you mean by creator. I look at everything that is, and I see a lawfulness to it all. The more I learn, the more laws I see, mechanism, one great big, like a watch and further mechanisms in it, and everything's arranged and is working inside there, and what's going on with me and human society. It's really one great big mess, but yeah, I also have to understand it, inquire it. We're not really capable because we're on the same level. But for the previous levels of the still, vegetative, inanimate, the more I research it, I see. I wonder how perfect it all is. We don't really know this. We don't study this exactly. We egoistically relate to the still, vegetative, inanimate and don't discover their perfection. But now there's like this whole science that researches nature in order to discover the mutual compensation or completion. We see such things that previously we didn't see, didn't understand how it all goes on. To that extent, all things are interconnected from edge to edge. Earth, like a closed ecological system. Here you have cows and there's sheep, and here whales, and here dolphins, and here you have the North Pole or something, then flows within the oceans and hurricanes and cows on the grass and the flies. These are such different systems, and suddenly you have an outburst of some volcano. It is all interconnected and works like a melody. It's so harmoniously, so perfectly. This is what is discovered, that when I look at that, I say that there is a kind of a process here. And this process, I see that it every time comes in order to further and further connect matter, to make it more connected, more sophisticated. I don't see the purpose, but I see that there is some kind of an exalted, unique force working here. Where is this force? In those particles, which started to connect to atoms, to molecules, to the different forms of life. Where is this force? I don't see it, but I see that something propels the whole of creation toward development. To an extent to which, as a result, I'm some kind of a special creature that I even think about it. Who created me? In what way? For what purpose? In what quality? With what program? I'm also a result. So we talk about that. I don't know about godliness, the Creator. I look at, what does He say? That we look at everything from our point of view, we really see a wondrous form of nature. This is what I call Creator. This is what I call the higher force. Why higher? It has created me. And what form throughout millions of years has prepared this thing for there to be some kind of a body called mom that will become impregnated by the father and will give birth to me. And now I exist and understand and feel, and everything's ready. What a combination. This is what he tells you, that it is so whole and perfect, but about the lack of perfection which we discovered, this is specifically what he wants to inquire. This is what he wants to explain, because otherwise there would be no purpose to write this introduction altogether. So on the one hand, he says, why like this, and why like that, and why not this, and a lot of why and inquiries. On the other hand, he now comes to tell you the very opposite, that if it's not for man, for as perfect as he is, as beautiful and whole, but not perfect, whole of himself in the still vegetative and animal, inanimate, but not perfect, man himself, he has to achieve this perfection. But the Creator, he tells you, it's nature. Yes.
So if I don't have this perception of nature as one force, that there's nature as one force which operates for a certain purpose, I don't have any common language here. Meaning this is a definition that we start with. Therefore, there is a chain of people who received each from the other this proper approach in order to pass it on to others. That's their role. My role is to teach you. Your role is going to be teach others. And this is how it goes down the generations. It's certain that no one can read this alone and understand this. Maybe I read it 200 times before I came to Rabash, at least. I didn't read it. I wasn't at the time so much, but together with my friend. I had a friend, Chaim Malka. We studied together. He would read, I would listen. Cup of coffee, cigarettes, until 12 o'clock at night, every day. Really. At 7 o'clock in the evening, he would come from the work with me, and we would sit until 12 o'clock, till midnight. And then we read, I don't know how many times. And you know how you read it in the beginning. You read and you're like, you don't know what's written. It's like the words are, it's like you're sliding upon the text. You can't enter even a bit into inwards.
today you read, so you see there's some, like on the road, there's like bumps or, we're talking about holes in the road. So it's like here there's a little glitch here, and there's like certain inner responses to each word. And then you read and it's like it's flat like on ice. You're not touching. Okay, well, yes.
Scott from England is asking, how can I feel with all this wonder that the world was truly created for me?
Therefore, the sages obligate us. What's the sage? What are the wise men? I am telling, it's, who is it? I am telling you that you have to believe that the whole world is for you, Doron. What does that mean? Everything that you can imagine is divided into two. You and the world. We, the universe, all the worlds, I don't know what, your grandpa and your grandma, no matter what, who and where. You divide everything to two. Me and what's outside of me, meaning the world. So everything that's outside of me was created for me.
It's compared to how small we are, it looks.
On the contrary.
No.
If everything's for me, then I'm great. So I have to use, meaning now I need, why are they obligating us? Because I need to learn how I use the whole world. But when I discover that really this is my soul. What's outside of me? It's my soul. What I'm imagining myself is the spark and the ego, the two things that are here. And outside of me is my soul. So how do I, with the help of the ego and the spark, start to join into me and connect into me, my whole soul? What happened?
I wanted to ask about this whole scrutiny. A person who's on the path that inquires life, tries to grasp reality, and suddenly finds himself in a state where he knows that he's about to die. What should his attitude be toward this state of his and of the group?
I don't know. Doctor, if a person is about to die, what does he say? When I'm going to already die. Well, say. He'll tell you. He hears this every day. Well,
really a person who lives too long, he really wants to die. And a person who's very ill, he also is tired.
He's tired of life.
I'm asking toward the attitude toward him. I'm asking you an attitude toward a person who's on the path in a process scrutinizing his life and finds himself in a state that his days are counted. How should he relate to this state on the one hand? And the second question is, how should the group relate to this situation?
I don't know. We'll talk about this on Shabbat, if you want. Write down the question. I also have many questions about you. I'm keeping them for Shabbat. Yes, sir.
Good morning, Rabbi.
Good morning.
Rabbi, there's something wrong.
You're telling me.
Why did the Creator create this whole great big mess for? I don't get it. What does He want of us?
That's what we want to understand. This introduction is, I would say, the most important introduction from all the introductions. I told you about this once. I only brought Rabash. We arranged in Jerusalem a group of guys from all kinds of yeshivas, seminaries, young guys from 20 to 25 years old, from different seminaries in Jerusalem. And in an Orthodox quarter in Jerusalem. We arranged a place for study. And I would come there with Rabash once a week to study. And when we traveled there for the first time, we didn't know anyone there other than the guy who organized. And I was surprised that he took the introduction to the Book of Zohar. And also when he wanted to start teaching me, after a month and a half that I was, since I entered the study there, then he took me in private and started to teach me the introduction to the Book of Zohar. But I didn't at the time understand anything. I looked at him like this. What's he saying? I don't understand. I did like that with my head. Truly, I remember. It was such an impression. And this is after many times that I read this alone. When he started to read it, even more I didn't understand. He read and I... Each time I looked at him, What? So about the mess, we'll talk about later. We'll see. Yes.
Can you explain about this one trick he says about look at the final action? From a person's current state, how can you look at the end?
How can you do it? I don't know. Write it down. That's another question also. I don't know. You're right. Also, why do I need to believe in it? There are many questions. But he doesn't differentiate them as questions themselves. Rather, apparently, along the way, he will supply the answers for us. Yes, Gil.
Rob, you said that you went over it many times over the text, and suddenly comes this moment where Rabash opened it and you start feeling the bumps.
No. Also not so much. Even more. I even felt even more that I was slipping, that I'm not entering inwards. But during the time, as we're reading, we're starting to see that this isn't clear and this is not understood. At least we start to ask questions. If you take a person from the street, he won't even ask. To ask a question is already some contact, it's something. What's written? That he doesn't ask the questions until you open for him. That you have to open for him and bring him to some contact. And then from that, he will know how to ask.
So that's exactly what I want to ask, because many of us are teaching in different places. And you're searching for that point where you can connect to a person's question. From your experience, what's the thing that most connects? I mean, you can't ask instead of him, but from your experience, what mostly awakens for a person to be able to connect to it and for him to want to swallow it, and then you can, like, you know, pull the hook. It's like a fish that swallows the bait, but unless he really bites it, then you'll pull and it'll, you know, fly out.
Give many examples, identify with a person, hug him and lower yourself to where he is in, and then from there, through all sorts of explanations, trickeries, try to raise him, even somewhat, a little bit higher, so he will see a difference with what it is with, how it is with you or without you, which with you, it opens his eyes, and then he'll want to come to that too. And that's how you do it. I don't see any other way. All the teachers use this. You go down to the place where he is and try to raise him somewhat. That's in the beginning. Later, when he starts on his own somehow to advance and to show movements by himself, you slowly start to leave him and expect him to raise man, for him to start getting closer to you, to advance, to make certain actions gradually. But in the beginning, it's really to raise him, to draw him, to attract him. Okay, where are we? But? Okay. I know that there are those who cast over their back the burden of Torah and Mitzvot, saying the Creator has created the whole of reality, then left it alone, that because of the worthlessness of the creatures, it is not fitting for the exalted Creator to watch over their mean little ways. Indeed, without knowledge, they have spoken. For it is impossible to comment on our lowliness and nothingness before we decide that we have created ourselves with all our corrupted and loathsome natures. But while we decide that the Creator, who is utterly perfect, is the one who created and designed our bodies with all their admirable and contemplative attributes, also the contemptible ones he did, surely there can never emerge an imperfect act under the hand of the perfect worker, as each act testifies to its performer about the Creator. And what fault is it of a bad garment if some no good tailor had made it? It's clear that if you see some flaw, then you are permitted to relate it directly to the Creator. Go to the craftsman who made me. Just such as we find in Masechet Ta'anit, in the Talmud, where it says a tale about a Rabbi Elazar who came across a very ugly man. He said to him, "How ugly is that man?" The man replied, "Go and tell the craftsman that made me, how ugly is this instrument you have made?" Meaning, what do you want from me? It's really like that. That's clear to us. Hence, those who claim that because of our lowliness and nothingness, it is not fitting for him to watch over us, and therefore he has left us, do nothing but display their ignorance. Try to imagine if you were to meet some man who would create creatures precisely so they would suffer and agonize their whole lives as we do. And not only that, but cast them behind his back. Not wanting even to look after them? To help them a little? I'm already tired, you should read.
How would you disrespect and disregard it all? And could you think about something like that?
Meaning, we see here, he's bald from this side and he's bald from that side. On one hand, you can't say that it's not from the Creator, it's definitely from him. On the other hand, you can't say that if it's from him. So why is it so corrupted if he's perfect? So we're in a dead end here. I don't know what's going on. And this is really a big problem that we studied at the time with in the article, The Peace, that from this all kinds of faiths come out, and religions, and so on. In order to complete this gap, it's not even a gap, it's this abyss, this, it's something that this conflict, maybe a conflict, or this inner conflict that really, this conflict remains in our life, because everywhere I go, I see imperfection, and I always have this problem with the Creator, without the Creator, whole or not whole. Am I not whole? Someone else is not whole. And all the time, this is the source of the problem. And therefore, he isn't saving on words here. Rather, he's continuing. Yes.
Earlier, you talked about the examples possible to give. So there's a kind of a rational explanation that you can take as an example from life that can give something for the rationale.
What, to justify the creator?
This whole contradiction, he says. You can ask the botanist, how many states does the fruit undergo until it comes to its purpose?
But the wise men already see the purpose, they already see the essence. Why do you enter this to me? The final correction in my nose? I don't feel this. This is the whole thing. He also will bring you right now soon that you don't show work to a fool in the middle of his work. He also brings this here. But in the middle of his work, I don't see more than that.
Okay, obviously, but
it's clear to me that I'm a fool. With that, I can agree. It's clear to me that I don't see the wholeness. But what do you want from me now? If I'm in such a state, how am I in such a state that my life is really not okay and nothing is working out, and also in spirituality and also in corporeality and everything? Where do you want me to justify the Creator from?
So, okay, I understand. This example gives a kind of a rational explanation.
What's logical? That those wise men came, those sages came and said, and well, they see the end. So, I don't see it. I'm landing from some planet. I come here and I say, oh, what? Let's say it's pleasant to be, like, according to my attributes from my planet. Oh, what, the flowers and the trees and everything. And then I take some apple. I take it and I'm like, it's something that takes everything out. Well, tell me. So the botanist comes and says, oh, this is perfect, only you can't see it yet. Well, wait a few months and you will see that it will be beautiful. What am I supposed to say?
So, again, it's
there needs to be in me the faith of the sages, faith in wise men. Meaning I need to be adhered to a wise man and to the degree so that I can use his perfection, his wholeness. I'm not sure you're hearing. And then if I use his perfection, his wholeness, I can justify the creation and justify the Creator. Before I'm adhered to a sage, to a wise man, and hear what he says, I don't hear what he's saying. That's why it says that the botanist. That's why it says that botanist is not saying to me, because with us it's at the degree of adhesion. Then you can use this wholeness of the teacher. Where does he write about that? He writes
in Shamati,
in letters. In what way does he write it? Well. You can also the group. This is the whole thing. If you cannot come to the sensation of wholeness that you receive from the upper, which is the group and the teacher, then you are constantly in such a, you know, like a piece of wood on a log on the sea that's being thrown by the waves from here to there. Yes.
No.
Oh, find it later.
Well, okay, that's clear, but Mushi sometimes asks many of these questions to search for the logic of things and somehow understand the bigger things. So what I'm saying, it has nothing to do with all that you said. Right, for sure. But there's a kind of an example that you can take from life here.
Right. I'm not saying that you can't take, but let's say I can't. Approximation.
Ashara.
the inspiration from this to that. With me, it doesn't work. I never saw it in my lifetime. A botanist, you can see in life. I'll wait a couple more months. It's in the range in my life, and I'll see, oh, it's really sweet, very nice. It's an apple, something. I see that everyone, after he finishes his life like that, and goes, and that's it. Where's the perfection? Where are the good things? Meaning this can't be a proof, because there it can be a proof, and here not. Well, so what are you saying? You're explaining this to your students, and they're satisfied with that. They're sufficed with that.
No, it's simply, I personally took different examples that he gives, like the worm and the radish. It gave a kind of a perception of something.
Calmness. If you want to believe and calm yourself down and shut down your conscience and feel that you're not just living just like that, well, there's some kind of justification. It can't be that the Creator and nature and so on. I'm sure that for all sufferings, there's some kind of reward later. So you're right. But this is called religion. That's called religion. This is how people are fed, to calm them down, to tell them, oh, soon you'll have heaven. And with us, no. I want now to know the perfection. And it only comes through adhesion in the group and in the teacher. If you cannot use this, then you cannot advance. Because the end of the action must be in you now. Now, otherwise you are not advancing not one step forward. Yes.
To continue all these things, what I see is that one of the things that you do before a lecture is you find out exactly who you're talking to, where do they come from, what bothers them, and you clothe in that. And this is something that I think that we fail in many times. We come with some kind of something that we prepared, with example we prepared in advance, and we shoot it without understanding who's sitting in front of us and can they perceive these examples. So therefore I think that it's very important to find who are the sages of your public, meaning who, what could they grasp and clothe on that.
Okay, we need to finish already. But once again, I'm saying a very important point. That we need to attain the final perfection and from it to work. And this needs to be in every single degree. Without it, we cannot advance. And we attain it through adhesion in the group and in with the Rav. Otherwise, one cannot advance. You have to find with what words he says it.
And the article for the completion of the Zohar?
I don't know. I don't remember where it is. Yes, Eddie. Well, half a minute.
With respect to what we talked about today, how can we help the Moscow group?
I don't know, they're doing like this to us, and I go like this to them. It seems like we're already saying, hello, goodbye, hello, goodbye. These guys are leaving their place now. They don't have another place. They're not concerned with what's going to happen there. I don't understand them. I only hear it like this from the side of what's going on. I don't know the right picture, but we need to sit on them hard and shake them up really good, and for them to think either they're going to disappear from our screens, and they're certain that that's going to protect them. How will they protect themselves? How can you do this? The study place is called the temple.
It's where you attain your spirituality, to concede for it, not to plan something certain in ahead. How could that be? So they can't do something in the center of town? Then go out to some suburb where it's maybe 10 times cheaper. I don't know. I don't understand them. I think the whole world needs to press them and shake them up a little bit. The group is going through stages that are very dangerous for its existence. Well, let's hope for good. And for the time being,
announcements. The Kabbalah Lam College introductory lecture. We're inviting you to an introductory lecture. The lesson will take place today, Thursday, 6:45 p.m. in the city of Haifa. Admission is free. For further details, please call us. Superwoman Women's Workshop. Toward the upcoming International Women's Day, we invite you to a workshop about the woman in the modern world. Superwoman. 8 p.m. on the 7th of March. Admission is free. Invite your friends. See you there. All the best. Have a great day and a great night. We will become together as one. We'll be forever connected. Всю силу любви хотим обрести, объединившись навеки. ולא חשוב מה שקורה בחוץ, כי העיקר נמצא בינינו. Cuando nos unimos juntos, nuestro amor gobernará. אותה משפחה, אותה הרגשה, מעל הפער שבינינו. The higher we go, reaching our soul, we will reveal the connection. Не важно, что там происходит вокруг, а важна связь между друзьями. Я un capares, como un malestar, nuestra actitud controlará.